Chapter 5. Sabrina looked down the long, empty road. They had been walking for over an hour, and not so much as a bicycle had passed them. If they didn't get a ride back to the house soon, the girls would be walking all night. The time might have passed more quickly if there had been a little conversation, but for an hour Daphne had marched ahead of Sabrina, refusing to speak. Even Elvis, who followed closely behind, was ignoring her. But since he was a dog, his silence was a lot easier to take. But Daphne hadn't been quiet for longer than 5 minutes since she was born. She was even a noisy sleeper. "How was I supposed to know?" Sabrina cried. "Anybody would have thought she was crazy." "I didn't," Daphne said, finally breaking her silence. "You don't count. You believe everything," Sabrina argued. "And you don't believe in anything," the little girl snapped. "Why are we even talking? You don't care what I think anyway." "That's not true," Sabrina said. But before the words had left her mouth, she knew they were a lie. What Daphne thought hadn't mattered in a long, long time, at least not since their parents had deserted them. But it wasn't like Sabrina wanted it that way. She was only 11 and didn't want to have to make all the decisions for both of them. She would love to feel like a kid and not have to worry about whether they were safe. But that wasn't how things were. Unfortunately, she realized now, she had never considered what Daphne thought when it came to their best interests. "Whatever," Daphne muttered, and continued her angry march back to the house. Elvis followed, sniffing the air wildly for the giant's stench. Sabrina could see that he took his guard dog duties seriously. Every little buzz and cracking sound had to be investigated. The dog darted back and forth, peering through the barbed wire fence that separated the road from the endless forest. Once he was confident that the swaying limbs of the pines or the occasional rooting woodchuck were not a giant sneaking up on them, he trotted to the center of the road and put his huge nose back to work. "This is ridiculous. We'll never get home if we walk," Sabrina said. Her feet were aching, and at the pace they were going, they'd be lucky if they made it back to the house by nightfall the next day. "You're not helping," Daphne cried as she spun around. Her face was red, and she had her hands on her hips. "What do you want me to do?" Sabrina asked. "The old woman, our grandma," Daphne corrected. "Whoever she is, just got carried off by a giant, and we are trapped in the middle of nowhere. I'm sorry, but I've run out of ideas." Daphne's shoulders loosened, and her expression sank. She walked over to a fallen tree trunk next to the road, sat down, and began to cry. Elvis trotted over and nuzzled her, licking the little girl's tears from her chubby cheeks and adding his whines to her sobbing. Sabrina sat down beside her sister and put her arm around the little girl. "You don't care if we ever find them," Daphne sniffled, pulling away. "Now you can run off like you planned with no one to stop you." Sabrina thought for a moment before she responded. She had to admit to herself that running away was her first instinct. "Daphne, that monster was real. We can't fight that by ourselves. Even if we knew where he carried them off to, I don't think we could get them back. What are a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old going to do about a giant?" "You're almost 12, Daphne said, wiping her eyes on the sleeve of her fuzzy orange shirt. "Besides, you heard Granny Relda. We're Grimms, and this is what Grimms do. We take care of fairy tale problems. We'll find a way to save Granny and Mr. Canis." "How?" "With this," Daphne said, holding the old woman's handbag above her head. Sabrina took it from her sister and fumbled through it. Inside were Mrs. Grimm's key ring, the swatch of fabric the old woman had said came from a giant, books, her notebook, and a small photograph. Sabrina pulled it out. "Mom and Dad," she said, as surprise raced through her. It was a picture of their parents, young and in love. Their dad had his hand on their mother's very pregnant stomach, and they were both grinning. Granny Relda stood next to them, beaming, while Mr. Canis was off to the side, stone-faced as ever. It had been more than a year and a half since Sabrina had seen a picture of her parents. The police had seized everything during the investigation and promised that when it was over, they'd get everything back. But when the cops gave up looking for her mom and dad, their promises faded away. Now Sabrina's bitterness toward her parents faded too. She held the snapshot as if it were a delicate treasure. It was evidence that her parents had existed, that at one time she and her sister had been part of a family. And it was obvious, seeing Granny Relda and her father standing side by side, where her father had gotten his warm, round face. She glanced at Daphne and saw that face in her sister as well. She looked at her father's blonde hair and recognized her own. Daphne had her mother's jet black hair. Sabrina had her high cheekbones and bright eyes. How could her mom and dad have walked away from their family? Proof that they should be together was right there in their faces. Daphne hovered over her sister to get a better view, tears still running down her cheeks. Sabrina turned the picture over. Someone had written, "The Family Grimm. Relda, Henry, Veronica, Mr. Canis, and the soon-to-be-born baby, Sabrina." "Why did he lie to us about her?" Sabrina whispered as she tucked the family portrait safely into her pants pocket. "I don't know," Daphne answered quietly. "And what happens if we start to love her and she abandons us too?" the older girl asked, trying to hide the hurt in her voice. "Maybe she won't," Daphne said. "Maybe she'll just love us back." The little girl wiped her eyes and dug into Granny Relda's handbag. She pulled out their grandmother's giant key ring. "She wanted us to have these keys. She wants us to go home." "If we can even get home," Sabrina said to herself as a light caught the corner of her eye. She looked down the road. There were headlights approaching. The two girls got up from the log and brushed themselves off. "What should we do, stick out our thumbs?" Daphne asked. Sabrina didn't know. They'd never hitchhiked before. In the past, whenever the girls had found themselves alone or on the run, they slipped under the turnstiles in the subway stations and traveled New York City's subterranean highway. Sabrina stuck out her thumb, and Daphne did the same. The car came to a screeching stop. It sat still for a moment, with its engine humming, blinding the girls with its high-beam lights, so that they had to shield their eyes with their hands. "Well, that was easy," Daphne said. "What's he doing?" "I don't know," Sabrina said, stepping to the side. "Maybe he doesn't want to give us a ride." Suddenly, the car let out a long, eardrum-rattling honk, followed by more engine revving. To Sabrina, it seemed as if the car were an animal, waiting for the right time to pounce on them. She recalled hearing stories about hitchhikers being killed by lunatics. Hitchhiking didn't seem like such a great idea anymore. She grabbed her sister's hand and pulled her off the road. As if in response, the car revved its engines again. "Run!" Sabrina cried. Surprised, Daphne stumbled along beside her, but did what she was told. The two of them raced back the way they had come, hand in hand. Elvis followed closely behind, turning his big head to bark out the occasional angry warning at the menacing car. But it had little effect on whomever was behind the wheel. The squeal of tires on asphalt told Sabrina that they were now being chased. The car honked again, sending a shocking jolt through her bones. And then suddenly it veered to the other side of the road. It sped up and passed the girls, then spun around, leaving black stains on the asphalt and the smell of burning rubber in Sabrina's nose. It was a police car, now stretched across the road, blocking the girls' escape. The door opened and a short, stout, pear-shaped man stepped out. He wore a beige police uniform with shiny black boots, a billy club at his utility belt, and a wide-brimmed hat that fastened under his three chins. His face was puffy and pink, with a nose that angled slightly upward, so that a person could see up his nostrils. On his shirt was a shiny tin star that read, "Ferryport Landing Special Forces," and a name tag underneath it that said, "Sheriff Hamstead."
"Girls, why are you running?"
the sheriff asked, in an unusually high-pitched voice that sent shivers into Sabrina's belly. "We thought you were trying to kill us," Daphne said angrily. Sabrina flashed her a look, letting her know that she would do the talking. "I see. Well, I'm sorry if I gave you two a start, but it's not safe for little girls like yourselves to be walking out here in the dark. These roads can be treacherous," the sheriff said. "Treacherous?" Daphne asked. "Dangerous," Sabrina explained. "I got a call that you were out here, so I came looking," the portly man continued as he hoisted his sinking pants up around his waist. "Why don't you two hop into the squad car, and I'll take you home?" He pointed to Elvis. "I don't know if we can put your horse in there, but we'll try." "He's not a horse," Daphne said. Then, realizing the sheriff was joking, she added, "You can't tease him. He's very sensitive." Hampstead leaned down and scratched Elvis under the chin. "Oh, I'm sure he is. Aren't you, Elvis?" The big dog growled and snapped at the sheriff's hand. Hampstead pulled it away just in time, but then rubbed it with his other hand, as if the dog had gotten a lucky bite. "How do you know Elvis?" Sabrina said suspiciously. "Oh, Elvis and I have met before. You must be Relda Grimm's grandchildren. I heard you were in town," the man said. "I'm the local sheriff, Ernest Hampstead."
"I'm Daphne," the little girl offered.
"Sabrina," Sabrina muttered.
"So, do you two need a ride home, or are you trying to raise $1 million for the March of Dimes?"
Sabrina nodded, and Hampstead opened the squad car's back door. Elvis clumsily climbed in, and the sheriff shut the door behind him. Sabrina and Daphne walked around the car and got in on the passenger's side of the front seat. Sheriff Hampstead squeezed and shifted his way into the car, breathing heavily, as if carrying a great burden. He had left the keys in the ignition. Sabrina guessed so that he wouldn't have to fish them out of his tight pants. So as soon as he was settled, he started up the squad car and headed in the direction of Granny's house.
"So I assume you two have already concocted some elaborate scheme to get your granny and her friend back?" Hampstead asked.
The girls looked at each other, unsure of what to say.
"So you know about this?" Sabrina asked, dumbfounded.
"Yep," Sheriff Hampstead said. "Hard to miss a 200-foot giant carrying grandmas away into the night, don't you think? I don't want you two girls to worry. Your granny is a tough cracker. I've seen her in bigger jams than this one, and besides, she's got the entire Ferryport Landing Special Forces squad working on the case. I know you two have been trained for this kind of thing, but we like to take care of our own problems here in Ferryport Landing."
Daphne cupped her hand around Sabrina's ear.
"Have we been trained?" she whispered. "I don't know what he's talking about," Sabrina whispered back.
"Are you an Ever After?" the little girl said, returning her attention to the sheriff. The sheriff looked over and winked a yes at Daphne. She squealed in delight.
"Which one?"
Suddenly, the squad car's CB radio crackled to life.
"Hampstead! Sheriff Hampstead!"
A man's voice fumed. It sounded oddly familiar to Sabrina. The sheriff seemed nervous. When he tried to pick up the handset, it fumbled in his sweaty hands before he finally got a hold of it.
"I'm here, boss. En route now," Hampstead said. "That's fantastic news, Hampstead. Nice to know you can do something that's asked of you. If you care at all, I picked up our little troublemaker about a half an hour ago, and he's sitting in a cell as we speak. So all I'm asking from you is to get those little trolls back to the mansion ASAP. I can't have any headaches ruining tomorrow's festivities."
Sabrina's heart froze, and as she looked at her sister, she saw the same horror reflected in Daphne's eyes. The voice on the police radio was Mayor Charming's. The car had come to a stop sign, and Sabrina knew they had to act.
"Daphne, do you remember that time Mr. and Mrs. Donovan took us to that 3-day lima bean cook-off festival?"
Sabrina asked casually, hoping the girl would remember the crazy foster couple they had lived with for 3 weeks the previous year. The little girl grimaced, obviously remembering the pickled lima bean pie Mrs. Donovan was so proud of. But then a light in her eyes told Sabrina she also remembered their daring escape. Sabrina slipped her hand into her sister's and quickly pulled on the door handle.
Before Hampstead could react, the girls were out of the car and freeing Elvis from the back seat. "Hey!" The sisters ran to the side of the road, where a 5-foot barbed wire fence lined the edge of the forest. There was no way to climb it. The barbed wire's sharp teeth would tear them apart. Their only chance was to try to scurry between the rusty wires to the other side. Desperate, Sabrina stood on one of the wires, reached down and grabbed a safe spot on the next highest one, and pulled upward as hard as she could, creating a hole her sister could crawl through. "Go!" Sabrina shouted, carefully watching the portly sheriff struggling out of the car. Daphne scampered through the small gap to the other side. The little girl got to her feet and tried to mimic the trick she had just seen Sabrina do. The result was a small gap Sabrina couldn't possibly fit through. "It's heavy," Sabrina coached Daphne. "You have to be strong." "I am," the little girl cried, pulling harder.
"Girls, you can't run,"
Hampstead shouted angrily as he finally freed himself from the car. Elvis positioned himself between Sabrina and the sheriff and barked a warning when the man took a step forward. Sabrina got down on her hands and knees and tried to crawl through, but before she could get to the other side, Hampstead, dodging Elvis, was on top of her, grabbing her legs and trying to pull her back out.
"You're coming with me," he squealed.
Sabrina kicked wildly and looked back into the sheriff's face, and what she saw bewildered her. Sheriff Hampstead was going through a disturbing metamorphosis. His already pug nose became a slimy pink snout. His round face puffed up to 3 times its size, and his ears turned pink and pointy and migrated to the top of his head. His chubby fingers melded into thick black hoofs, and his back bent over until he was literally on all fours. Hampstead had turned into a pig, an angry, determined pig in a policeman's uniform.
"I can't hold it any longer,"
Daphne cried, wide-eyed at what she was witnessing. Sabrina kicked one more time and felt her foot sink into Hampstead's gelatinous belly. His piggy face turned white, and he fell onto his back, honking and gasping for air as his little legs flailed back and forth. Just as suddenly as he had changed to a pig, he changed back to a man. Daphne's arms gave out, and the barbed wire came down on top of Sabrina, snagging her pants. Daphne vainly tried to lift it again, but the taut wire barely moved.
"What are we going to do?"
Daphne cried as Hampstead staggered to his feet. He rushed toward Sabrina, this time as a full man. Suddenly, Sabrina heard a series of notes, as if someone in the woods was playing a flute, followed by a buzzing sound that grew closer and closer. Sabrina peered through the trees nervously, remembering the music from the night before.
"They're coming, aren't they?"
Daphne said. And before she finished the question, a cloud of little lights zipped out of the forest and surrounded them. This time, the lights didn't attack. Instead, they hovered, as if waiting for instructions. Another note pierced the night air, and the little lights buzzed into action, perching on the barbed wires that had Sabrina caught and, with a flutter of wings, pushing at the lowest wire and pulling the other one up, creating a hole big enough for Sabrina to scamper through. When she got to the other side, the little lights let go of the wires. Hampstead, trapped on the other side of the fence, squealed in frustration and searched for an opening. He waddled back and forth, huffing and grunting, but found nothing that would allow his human or pig form to pass. Desperately, he got to his hands and knees and tried to squeeze through the wires, and that's when Elvis made his move. The big dog ran full steam right at Hampstead, like some kind of fur-covered locomotive. He leaped onto Sheriff Hampstead's broad back and used it as a springboard. The sheriff let out a painful grunt as Elvis sailed effortlessly over the top of the fence and landed on all fours. The chubby policeman quickly recovered. He stood up, grabbed a fence post, and began to climb. Sabrina knew she had to do something. She grabbed another post and pushed all her weight against it. Discovering it was quite loose in the ground, she shook it back and forth as hard as she could, and the fence swayed uncontrollably.
"Hey, stop that!"
Hampstead shouted nervously as he clung to the fence. Daphne rushed to Sabrina's side, and together they shook the fence even harder. Suddenly, with a loud tearing of fabric, Sheriff Hampstead's body thumped to the ground on his side of the fence. He groaned and let out an angry cry. After a moment, he picked himself up. Unfortunately, his pants had not survived the fall. They hung from the sharp teeth of the barbed wire fence, leaving the sheriff in just a pair of droopy long johns. Defeated, he hobbled back to his car.
"He's leaving," Sabrina said as she followed her sister into the dark woods.
"He turned into a pig," Daphne whispered.
"I saw him," Sabrina replied, "but I think we have another problem."
The little lights waited patiently ahead of them. They darted into the woods and then came back out, as if they wanted the girls to follow them.
"What do you want?"
Sabrina asked, and the lights shimmered and blinked an answer.
"Should we follow them?" said Daphne.
"I don't see that we've got much of a choice," Sabrina said,
thinking the lights might attack if they didn't. She took her sister's hand and they walked through the dark woods, with Elvis trotting closely behind. Low-hanging branches blocked their path, and with each step, the girls had to dodge and weave to get through. Several times, Sabrina walked into trees, feeling the prickly spindles of a pine or the crusty bark of an oak tear at her clothes and skin. The lights guided them, slowing down occasionally to see if they were keeping up.
"They're making sure we're following them," Sabrina said, wondering if it was a good thing or a bad thing.
Soon the girls stepped into a clearing. In the center was a pile of junk, an old refrigerator, a couple of burned-out microwaves, some abandoned teddy bears, and a broken toilet had been assembled into a massive chair. Sitting on the junk throne was a boy with a mop of blonde hair that was tousled and dirty. He wore a pair of baggy blue jeans and a green hooded sweatshirt in desperate need of a washing. And in his hand he held a small sword. But most interesting was the golden crown that rested on his head.
"Pixies!" he called to the little lights. "What have you found?"
The little lights erupted into a loud buzzing.
"Spies, you say?" the boy asked. "Well, what do we do with spies?"
There was more buzzing in response, and a wicked grin appeared on the boy's face.
"That's correct," he laughed. "We drown them."